Hello and welcome to another episode of the CG Garage. This is episode number 181, featuring Karim Moussa. And I was very glad to meet with Karim. The first time I met Karim, I believe, was at the D2 conference in Vienna last year. And we've been communicating online on a few things here and there, and he's a really, really interesting guy. But I also got to sit down with him during Total Chaos, which is the event that we did back in May over in Sofia. And it was really great to be able to sit down with him. Karim is a stellar ArcViz artist. I wouldn't be shy to say that he is among one of the best in the world right now, and incredibly talented. And he works with some of the best architecture firms in the world and does some incredible work, and really, really beautiful. He is originally from Egypt, and I have a very soft spot in my heart for Egypt because I was born there. I am not Egyptian, but as an American, I was born in Egypt, and I really enjoyed my time there, and I very, very much love that. So it was really cool to be able to hang out with him over there in Sofia and talk about Egypt and about our passion. He has worked in Dubai, and the other big place he's worked, which is incredible, is Mir, which is one of the best companies out there. Very, very unique work that is done over at Mir. I absolutely love their work. They are based in Norway, so combining his, you know, Middle Eastern sensitivities with the Scandinavian sensitivities and learning how to meld those two is really kind of a beautiful, beautiful skill that has come up. And he started to do his own things a little bit here and there. He moved back to Cairo, and he's developing his own little personal projects. And I don't want to say little, they're actually pretty ambitious. He's doing one about Taekwondo, and it's pretty interesting and really beautiful. So we'll put some links up to that on the site, and definitely go to our podcast page and check out Karim's podcast. And we'll have some links there for you to look at some of the incredible work he's done on Taekwondo. Let's see what else is going on. That's about it. But a couple of announcements. Let's see. You may have noticed that this podcast intro may sound a little bit different. I'm testing out some new equipment, so forgive me for that. I'm trying it. It's my new mobile equipment, and I'm sitting in my backyard on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning trying to see how this sounds. It's been a very, very, very hot few days in Southern California. We've had temperatures that were in 120 plus degrees here. That's in Fahrenheit. And for those of you who don't use the archaic Fahrenheit in Celsius, that's in the upper 40s. So like 45 degrees or 46 degrees. It's kind of insanely hot over here. So, but we are surviving. We're doing fine. It's finally starting to cool down. I actually see some clouds in the sky that hopefully it'll provide a little bit of shade. And other things is, obviously, we've said a few things about V-Ray Next. V-Ray Next is for Maya, is in beta, and for those of you who would like to try it, please do. We really rely on your feedback to make it better or make it faster or have more features or just be the kind of program that you want it to be. So this is your opportunity to give us that feedback. We'd love to do that, to hear from you. It is extremely good and it is extremely fast. And V-Ray Next for 3ds Max is not in beta. It is a product, so you can actually buy that or upgrade it, and it's in really great, it's doing really, really well as well. So let us know what's going on. If you're enjoying that, we'd love to hear your feedback on that product as well. And V-Ray Next will be starting to roll out for a bunch of other products as we move along, so just keep an eye on things for that. chaosgroup.com will have all the information you need. And I think that's all I've got for today. Thanks so much, guys. Hopefully you will enjoy this great podcast with Karim Moussa.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passé. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fresnel.
I haven't been to Cairo. The last time I was there was 87. I went there when I was 16, and I left in 77 when I was 6.
Yeah.
So I'm very. It's very hard to not have that love for that city. It's an incredible city.
Yeah. It is. It's amazing actually, and a lot of people don't have like a lot of experience visiting it or like knowing even what is it, you know, like. But it's amazing. It have like so much to offer actually.
Yeah.
So the variety of things, and also like the Egyptian people are always like super welcoming for tourists, and they really love foreigners overall.
Yeah.
They are kind of like prepared for it, and they are very. Yeah.
But don't you think that's always been the case? Because there's so many people that have gone through Egypt over the last thousands of years, right?
Yeah.
It's always been at a junction of things, right?
Yeah.
And a junction of cultures. There's always been like different cultures that have. You know, sometimes they don't always get along, but a lot of times they've found a way to coexist in a lot of ways and find different roles they can play.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I loved it. I was, you know, I was there as a child. So as a child, everything looks wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was there during the Sadat years, and so it was a much more sort of open city in a lot of ways. But I thought it was an incredible city when I was living there. And I was young and still familiar with it. But what is your experience now? What's it like to live in the Middle East and doing the kinds of things you do?
Yeah, I really like it actually. I think after living abroad for so many years, I went to Dubai for 6 years and then Norway, and then now I'm back. I feel like it's there is something I don't know. Like it's very warm for me. So at first glance, it's just like more comfortable living there, closer to the friends and families and all the stuff.
And you are from
Cairo.
You're from Cairo.
Yeah, of course. And then so right now what definitely brings a lot of benefit for me that I don't I work with like different scattered people from different places in the world, like people from London, people from New York, people from Scandinavia, people from Dubai. So it's an array of people, sometimes even people from Egypt. But of course, like the market in Egypt is much more challenging. So I would have faced more troubles working only on the Egyptian market.
Right.
But still, there is like some amazing studios over there doing some amazing work for only Egyptian market. But I mean, they had like their years of challenge.
Right.
There is some actually great talents over there, but they just don't have like the expertise yet. You know, they don't have the opportunity to evolve, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting you say that, because one of the things that's kind of interesting to us or to me is, you know, we reach out to a lot of different places, and we pay close attention to our social networks, right?
Yeah.
You know, who's following us, where they come from, et cetera. Egypt is huge.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that following us on Facebook from Egypt.
Yeah.
Why? How come is it so huge? Is Facebook or social media extremely important?
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah. People are actually very well connected, and they always like just, try to update with the like latest stuff and follow up like with the best technology and best artwork around. They just don't have the opportunity. Actually, I was just talking with Miguel about he's teaching in Gnome workshop. And he said that there is a lot of really great Egyptian talents in his classes, but they just don't get the opportunity to just, you know, like continue working in the US, for example, because of the visa and paperwork, you know, like it's much more hard for them to get placed there.
Sure.
But it's super big. So you have like, you know, everything, you know,
It's a huge city.
Yeah. Like for example, I always like compare it like Russians. Russians are too many, so they are always like good at sports because they are too many. Too many challenge.
But so tell us a little bit about your history. You were traveling, obviously, a lot. You said you lived in different places. You've worked in, when did you get into CG? How did that start?
Yeah, so basically I studied architecture in the University of Fine Arts in Egypt, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I was working in, I was presenting my projects in CG. Mm-hmm. And then at some point,
so you had the opportunity in the school to learn CG.
But the last years, so the last years they give us like the freedom to actually present the projects in CG.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to, you know, like dig into it, and then I started to really like it. And then bit by bit, after I graduated, I went to Dubai because, you know, Dubai have been booming at the like for some time with architecture projects.
It still is.
So I went over there. And they had like different opportunities to work in different multinational companies, consultancy, mainly architecture. Mm-hmm. So I was always doing like design on the side and then CG at the side. Mm-hmm. But then at some point, after many years of doing this, I felt, okay, I think I actually have to focus on something and get the best out of it.
Okay.
Because I felt I wasn't going that much anywhere with both. So I thought, okay, let's just focus on CG then and trying to be as best as I can possibly be. But to do that, at that time in Dubai, there wasn't really studios catering for that quality with that approach in there. Mm-hmm. So I was searching for creative studios. Of course, it was mainly in Europe, specifically for the architecture, Archiviz community.
You would think that in Dubai, they would have a lot more.
That's true. Yeah, and it wasn't. I don't understand. But now it's different. Like, for example, there is this Squint Opera, which is really big. And they have an office in Dubai, but it wasn't back then.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe they were still like, people are was just like working from Europe, but now they have like a lot of studios there, which is cool.
Okay.
But then at that point, then I had to, you know, search for people, which was like mainly in Europe, London or like Europe. And then Mir was one of like the most, you know, popular back then. Like it had this like own charm, different ways of doing things and very creative small studio.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually sent the guys. I was just like, you know, like working in Abu Dhabi, even just sitting one normal day. I saw that ad. And then I thought, all right, let's just send these guys. Maybe they would actually be interested in hiring me or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then they were actually, they were happy with my portfolio. Said, yeah, you have lots to learn, but you surely have the potential. Let's maybe you can just come visit us and let's talk.
Right.
So it was a very important point for me because I went. I felt like it's a completely different world.
Well, Mir is so unique, one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
And they're so interesting in terms of how they do things and what they do. I've always been fascinated by their work and what, you know, all these different ideas.
Yeah.
And their style as well.
Yeah.
They have a style where I kind of say like the mood is more important than the architecture.
Yeah.
And you don't even see the architecture.
Yeah, of course.
It's your silhouette or something of that nature.
Yeah.
And that is, they also do obviously a lot of work in 2D as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was that experience? What was it like to learn from those people?
Yeah, it was amazing, honestly. Like, it was just so amazing. The good thing, that the most amazing thing that people don't realize until now, they think that they have like the most magical secrets ever, you know? And actually, when you work over there, you find that they're actually doing things in the most simple ways ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pure talent, honestly, like pure vision and pure talent. And and also expertise, of course, like experience. They have a lot of years of experience.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing, that the most amazing things also, that I think the clients, the architects, they have so much confidence and trust in their talent and creativity, so they give them like a really big space of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So they can just come up with, you know, like the best artwork stuff for the architecture projects, and that's what happens, you know. So they became this like, you know, like very unique style studio, and people go to them because of that, not because of production, not quantity, but more like quality. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was an incredible experience. I learned so much over there. It totally changed my point of view for everything.
Mm-hmm.
It affected me so much. And I of course, like, worked with so many unique projects with unique architects. And it was an incredible experience.
Yeah. How long were you there?
6 years. Six years.
Oh, wow. So you did. You definitely got to be.
Yeah.
Did you work on some Hadid projects? And
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
of
which course. Which ones did you? Some of the images you
did. I did several projects, but one of the biggest projects is the building the in the desert, the one that looks like a shell, like a desert yes. dunes. You know, this
did you
one.
Do the animation?
Yeah, I did the animation too.
I love with that the colleagues.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful, beautiful building.
Yeah, it's amazing. When we got the building at the beginning, like the request for the project was, this is like the coolest material ever. You know, like mm-hmm. the coolest shape, and then it's in the desert. It's like, you know, Star Wars. You just can't think about other
than Tatooine.
Exactly. Yeah. I was actually gathering references from that, from
really?
Tatooine. Yeah. I was trying to, you know, like get inspired by the aesthetics of these like cool spaceships, white spaceships in the middle of the desert. That's just incredible.
But okay, but you're Egyptian. You remember the houses they used to build in Egypt that were made of the mud bricks?
Yeah.
And they would have these domes on them that were like really round
sure.
and they had these beautiful. That's very similar. I feel that like that. Well, obviously, you know, she's Middle Eastern too, so I think she understands that idea.
Of course. No, Zaha was like super unique. Mm-hmm. It still is. They are working. They are producing amazing projects in amazing places, honestly, like breaking the boundaries of architecture always. So it's always exciting to work with them, actually. So yeah, we did this animation. I don't have like a lot of experience in doing animations. I think mm-hmm. it's much more challenging in the architecture visualization world to do animations with the same aesthetics, like this cinematic.
Well, I think you guys found something that was very good to do that, right? You kept your style, but you know, you had your slow moves, your slow pans that were very pretty. And I mean, that's a style that I also saw in what's his name? Alex Roman, right?
Yeah, so, of course.
And when he showed the possibility of doing that, I mean, those are moving stills in a lot of ways,
exactly.
you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that they gave parallax and with the music, et cetera.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things that are going on in ArcViz that I think have changed for how we think of things. It was really cool. I, you know, and I actually did a podcast with Patrick Schumacher too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
He's an amazing guy.
He is. Yeah. He's very, he's hyper intellectual.
Yeah, of course.
So it's, if you're not an architect, it's actually really hard to understand what he's talking about.
Of course, it's different. That's amazing. Yeah,
it's really cool.
But so it's like it was a completely new experience just living in Norway. Also, like I have my family also with me, and my son was like almost like talking Norwegian before before we leave. Yeah, he was like the only family member that was talking Norwegian. Like when we go to the hospital, for example, he's sick, and then he's just like talking to the doctors in Norwegian. And we was like, me and my wife are like idiots, don't understand anything.
Right.
so funny, but it was an incredible experience. Norway is extremely inspiring in terms of like weather and topology, and especially Bergen, because you know Mira is located in Bergen.
Yeah, where is Bergen?
Yeah, Bergen is like the second biggest city after Oslo,
mm-hmm.
and it's like the what's called like this. You know, like if you heard about the fjords.
Yes.
So it's like.
Near
it's
the fjords.
This place, yeah.
Okay.
It's like probably like Lord of the Rings, half of it like have been shot over
with
there.
Huge cliffs. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's incredible. The mountains over there honestly feels like coming from like a different planet or something.
Yeah.
It's just totally different. So I mean, you know, like if you have lived in Egypt, you don't see mountains at all, or like in some places, but like not especially green mountains even.
Right.
But so that was like a completely new world for us, like raining and snowing and all that stuff. It's just like new effects for us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so inspiring. And the people over there are very like, you know, nice. They actually have been, taking us like inside and trying to, you know, like make us feel like
comfortable.
Yeah, comfortable. They know that it's very new to us, so they were like inviting us to their, you know, like usual events or things like this.
Oh, so you would learn about Norwegian
exactly,
culture.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was. They are really they are very shy, but they are super kind and
mm-hmm.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's yeah, it was awesome experience.
It was cool. Hopefully I can get someone from Mir to be on the podcast at some point.
Yeah, you should.
Because I should. I think I'd asked Trund once to do it, and he was like, I'm not sure so much. And I think he's just shy. But it'd be great to be able to talk to them about stuff. So.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Mats and Trund is like the two owners of Mir, and they are just incredible guys, like super creative, super, I think they really changed the whole ArcViz fabric.
I think there's these great moments that have happened, you know, like, I think when Alex Roman showed what he did, it's sort of everyone's like, that's boom, shape. Like, now we're no longer going to do fly-throughs.
Yeah.
You know? and then finally, you know, when Mir showed like what you can do to an architecture building, and it's an illustration, it's like, you don't have to make the building the center point of it. You can make a mood and a feeling.
Yeah.
There was, I think I saw some rendering that the Mir had done. I forgot who had done it. Who's the tall Hungarian guy? What's his name?
Ah, Tomas.
Tomas, thank you. Yeah. Tomas Mitev.
Medve.
I think it was one of his renderings where it was just like the skyscraper, and then it was in the clouds, so you didn't see the top of it. You just saw the bottom of it. Lon looked at it. Lon used to work for Neoscape. He was a creative director at Neoscape. So he looks at it and he goes, I wish I had the balls to do a rendering like that, where you don't even see the top of the building.
I think we are the people at Mir World was very much driven by and inspired by movies and, you know, concept art and different art forms that it was just
concept art is very, you can definitely see that. Now, when you went there, did you feel that you adapted a Mir style, or did you have the opportunity to sort of do your own style within Mir?
Yeah, I think it's actually kind of both. The thing is that before I went, I had Mir is usually working with the aesthetics of being natural, right? Like, okay, they apply a lot of moods and creative cinematic effects, but at the same time, they want to approach it in a natural way.
Okay.
So, and I kind of I was from the same school, but not that advanced, of course, or not to that level. So I was aiming for being natural, but then when I went over there, I embraced a much bigger range of, you know, directions and visual experiences and stuff like this. So it started to evolve somehow in the same school. So let's say we are in the same school, but I'm student and they are masters. So it kind of started to evolve and combine into me something bigger, which is eventually in the same. But the most amazing thing about Mir that they don't force you for more than this. We want to create natural stuff, but you can go crazy. You can create a red light image and be totally creative. It doesn't have to be moody or dramatic or you can create something completely different, but in the same natural setting. That's the most important. But so everyone was just trying, you know, we were almost challenging each other. Who's gonna do something new this time, you know, or something original.
Yeah, I think, but do you think also that it's part of just the fact that they were in that area with all the mountains and the clouds?
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
Because they also, another thing that they do that's very gutsy in a way is they a lot of their renderings are in overcast skies.
Of course. Right? Yeah, yeah. It's a pure influence from the weather. Yeah. And also they at the beginning, I think, because specifically they were working with the Snøhetta, the architecture company, and it was they were doing a lot of projects in Norway or Scandinavia, so it was always they are trying to mimic the same weather conditions, which is overcasty and dramatic.
Right.
That what happened, it started to feel okay, Mir is the overcasty guy, so it's just the projects, I think. But it's amazing. It's actually I knew Mir in Dubai because they did a project with Snøhetta in Dubai, and the images was just amazing, that everybody was saying, oh, look, this amazing images, it's just people were almost talking about that. The images are the ones that making the project. Okay, the design, of course, is amazing, but the images is just boosting the reputation of the project, you know?
Okay.
But so I think that's in the Middle East how we started to get to know Mir.
But I think the Middle Eastern culture is actually very creative, right? There's a lot of art and a lot of history that goes on in that area. Do you feel that that part of that influenced you as well?
Of course, yeah. I think, it's just like the background of many things. So we have like a lot of history. We have a lot of art. We have a lot of actually, like the movie industry specifically in Egypt was like kind of like they say it like the Hollywood of the East or something. Mm-hmm. It's actually really old. Like you can even see like a lot of actually Egyptian actors in like for example Lawrence of Arabia. Yeah. There's like Omar Sharif.
I know.
Yeah.
I know
who, So
he used to hang out at our house.
Oh really? Oh my God! Had like so much privileged life. Huh? You're meeting like all the most famous people. It's amazing.
I was told I was a kid. my parents used to host a lot of parties.
In
Garden City, but
incredible.
I think you're right. I mean, there is like art history and obviously massive culture and art that had followed through. And it's not, you know, you go back from ancient Egypt to, you know, all of the times, you know, and mathematics as well, obviously, right? The Egyptians are very big into science.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I am sure that this like have been influencing me and also like just, coming from the east to west. So it's just like when I deal with projects in the Middle East or the Europe, I have just a different maybe background than the usual Western. It's maybe shaped something from me, but it's awesome.
What do you think the aesthetic is, the desired aesthetic of certain architecture projects that you notice that are different from your time at Mir compared to working on other projects that are going on in the Middle East? What do you see the biggest differences between those two?
You mean between the...
The aesthetic, like what do they try to show? Like, is there something different about it?
You mean in terms of like market or projects?
Projects, renderings, more specifically.
Yeah. No, it's not. There isn't something different. But like as I told you, I think like maybe the biggest difference is that the people in the Middle East, the projects are going over there is just extremely tight frame, tight deadlines, and maybe it's like the clients over there, like for example, I don't know, like certain Emirati company which is owned by Sheikh.
Mm-hmm.
They are sometimes tends to maybe like control like the aesthetics of things a little bit more than usual, which it's not always like the case, but sometimes they tend to do this maybe more than like normal Western projects that just they give you like kind of like more control over the aesthetics and
what is the aesthetic that they're looking for generally?
Whatever, like for example, like if let's say we have like a project in let's say Saudi Arabia, like big thing, and then they just want, for example, let's say a very festive approach, like we want like fireworks and like people laughing and super active everywhere, you know.
Right.
And then you try to tell them, okay, but this means that you will have like a lot of like really competing elements together, and things will not give you the desired impact that you're looking for. You have to simplify things a little bit more. So we tend to have like this problem quite a lot, especially in the projects in the Middle East, like Saudi Arabia, Dubai, things like this.
They tend to be make that want to really emphasize the part of it.
Okay. Exactly. And that happens to create like a lot of problems. Like today in the masterclass, I was actually showing this project in Saudi Arabia, which previously did with Red Vertex, and I was talking with the guys from Red Vertex because I got like the same input data brief, and they are always like pushing for this, like we need everything to be as, you know, like booming as much as possible, which is not good. Not always good.
It's hard to communicate that.
Of course. It's really hard. It's totally correct that less is more, so you have to be careful that if you complicate things, then things start to break down.
Do you think it's something that they learn, or do they feel that they have to show off as much as possible?
I think so. I think it's almost like a challenge, because I lived over there, so it's almost like a challenge that every time you just want to, you know, like seriously impress the world, which is nice, but it sometimes comes like into like a show off scenario maybe, and you can see it that they are always like saying we build the tallest tower,
tallest tower,
the biggest fountain, But sometimes they actually create like an amazing stuff. I worked last year in this tower where they want to create like an upper podium that have like a rainforest with like extremely dense trees and weather in Dubai is really hot, so they want to create like these like rain drops, like artificial rain drops inside. So it's quite amazing. This project was really, really cool. And it got like a lot of attention from the media around the world. Like they were like publishing it in the US and Japan. And I got like a lot of requests for featuring the images. So stuff like this is super cool. But like, as I told you, like the other stuff is not always like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Saudi Arabia also is just the same market, I think, as much as Dubai. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. There is a lot of building going on there.
There's a lot of building going on. There is also the Dubai Expo. This is a freaking big project. You know,
is that the huge indoor thing? Or they got indoor skiing inside there?
No. Like Dubai Expo is like a new, like pavilions for all the countries. They are like designing each country have like its own pavilions, kind of like the Biennale, but like, you know, it's an outdoor Biennale. So they have like an expo. It's like 2020, actually. It's quite soon.
Oh, really?
And it's really massive. Okay. Yeah, it's really massive. I think it was like AECOM who did the master plan, which is like a huge design. Yeah, so they are like building it right now.
Okay.
So, but yeah, a lot of other projects. Dubai and Saudi Arabia, you can't really speculate what is the market. It's actually really tricky. You don't understand because you find companies that have like a lot of work and some other companies are complaining so much that they don't have any work at all. They don't really understand, yeah. And you know, like in 2007 or 2008, it collapsed totally with the crisis.
But yes.
Everybody was like totally like terminated.
Well, if the economy goes down a little bit, the first thing you do is stop building, right?
Exactly. So, exactly. So yeah, you get like me and my friends was like kidding about it because all of us was just like waiting for our termination letter, you know, like it's a matter of time. It's coming.
It's too bad. But I think there's also, you know, there is some really, obviously they have a demand for work. They do want a lot of building.
Mm.
They have a very rich economy that can support all of those different things and might as well create these wonderlands, right?
Yeah,
and
of course.
It's very cool. So what made you go back to Cairo?
Yeah, it's so many reasons. It was actually like a, kind of like a heartbreaking decision because I really loved Mir as a studio so much. We were like a family, you know, like everybody was super nice. And, you know, like in Norway, you work like until 4:30 maximum, which is awesome. Like,
really?
Yeah, that happens. We were one of the studios that we work more. Like usually you even leave at 3:30. Like, so it's like insane. Like people in Norway are, that's why they are very kickbacked. And
wow.
So it was like a decision that I had to go back because I want to be like closer to family and friends. And at the same time, you know, like I'm coming from Egypt, Cairo. Cairo is just crazy, you know. So I just wanted to go back and maybe try to just work on my own, maybe try to experiment on different things rather than just like doing commissioned work all the time, which obviously I'm not doing that much, but like still, but no, but I kind of like, I really wanted to have like some kind of control over my booking schedule so I can like free some few times to do like maybe some experiments or personal projects. Like for example, this Taekwondo project that I did recently, that was like, concluded from different, you know, gaps in between.
Okay.
So that was like one of the main things for me. Yeah. And also like, you know, like just going back and that's it, I think. So, but so far have been going really nice. Like I have been like 1.5 years for now and it's have been going really cool.
So tell me about some of those projects.
Yeah, so I worked with an array of different people. Actually, it's very exciting because more and more I'm getting like maybe more exposure. People know that I'm out there. Maybe like also like stuff like when you share something or like win award with CG Awards or stuff like this, you get like even more recognition. But I work with different people like KPF Architects from London, New York, MBBJ from Los Angeles, Sometimes the Hadid people even. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends from Dubai working in different companies like Perkins and Well, mm-hmm. Callison RTKL. So all these kind of like friends, they are each is working in a company and then they are sending you a project, you do a project and then they are happy. Then their other friends
ask for you. Word of mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's actually starting to be... a little bit too much. Like this month I have almost refused 14 projects, which is insane.
Wow.
So I actually don't know what is the future for me now, because I said okay, I hope that I will get just some freelancing jobs that will be enough for me to sustain right. A salary. But then it's
but you are working by yourself or do you have a team?
I started like this, but it's just now I'm kind of doing a very strange system, because I don't have a real office. I'm just working from office, I have a room office. Mm-hmm. At home, but I'm actually collaborating with different artists from around the world. Mm-hmm. So I know a Slovakian friend who's kind of helping me almost on daily basis. We don't have contract or anything yet. Mm-hmm. Also another Romanian guy, another Dutch friend of another. So they are all almost freelancers. Mm-hmm. But so I ask them for their availability for certain projects, for certain criteria. And then they say, yeah, we are totally up to it. Let's do it together. And we share stuff online, do meetings online. So it's a very strange way of doing work. But mm-hmm. it actually works.
Yeah.
So far.
So far. Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. It's good. Do you find that doing sort of remote work and stuff like that, is that work for you? Do you find it pretty easy or?
Yeah, it is actually. It is I it's funny because most of the clients that I work with, they don't actually understand even where I am, and they are not interested to know. They just know me and they know my work and mm-hmm. they are excited and that's enough for them. Okay, but after some time they start to, but where are you actually based in?
Right.
But they don't still care, as long as they feel that you have the expertise and the talent to do what they want, then it's
And how good. How do they communicate with you? Like here we want a rendering of this. What do they, you get a Skype conversation or?
Yeah, at the beginning they send an email request saying about the project, the timeline and the requirements that mm-hmm. they need. And then, we jump into a video conference call.
Got it.
Yeah, and we do it regularly, like from two weeks or 3 weeks ago. I had a big competition work with KPF for the Asia Games 2022, mm-hmm. and we were doing a regular meeting with the directors and the partners over there. It was really intense.
Yeah.
So it feels like I'm on their doorstep or something. Right. Internet is just insane now. It's totally connected. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty interesting that you're doing that. I find it interesting the way Arcfis has changed over since I left, and the fact that you can just be on an internet call and just do that. Do you have to model most of the things, or do you get models? How does that work now?
Yeah,
because now I guess a lot of things are just done in 3D anyway.
Of course, yeah, right. Yeah. It's I would say 90% of the stuff are modeled, but mm-hmm. There is some things is still no. I worked in from a year ago in a tower in Iran, and it's just an Iranian company that want to build this very iconic tower, and they just had a CAD elevations. So yeah. I had to model it, or at least hire someone to model it. But yeah, most of the time, for example, these Zahadi buildings and stuff like this, how would you model this? They have a very...
How would you design it?
Exactly.
You can only design it on
exactly.
A computer.
Exactly, yeah. So, but most of the time you have the models, but some stuff sometimes needed, site environment modeling, mm-hmm. additional details, of course.
Right.
To perceive the most realistic output. But yeah, most of the time you receive the...
Do you also, obviously, when you were at Mir, you guys were doing a lot more of overlapping over, Photoshop on top.
Oh, yeah. Post-production work, yeah. But it wasn't a formula. There was no guideline for it. There is some projects that you could do almost 95 or 99% 3D stuff,
mm-hmm.
which would obviously be more efficient. and maybe it would be like much more challenging to do it in 2D. But there is some other projects that you really have to do in 2D, like specifically for the entourage and the you know, like the people and the 2D elements that you really, I mean, 3D models are getting much more better right now, but it's still like, if you want to do like a plaza full packed with, like, I don't know, Asian people, mm-hmm. how would you do this in 3D in such short timeline? It's really challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to like use 2D elements to make it look real, but at the same time to make it look like natural.
Right.
So and efficient, because I think its timeline is always like the most challenging aspect in ArcViz, because you don't have like so much time. You only have to finish project in 1 week or 2 weeks maximum.
Right.
So you have to be extremely efficient, and they are demanding the requests. Like, they see like a lot of awesome stuff now, so they expect you to get them the most realistic stuff.
Do they do that a lot, where they say, here's my building and I want it to look like this building, or like another rendering? Do they give you a lot of reference like that?
Sometimes, but not always. No, like I think it's the amount of trust and confidence the architects usually have in you, but like, as more confidence and trust, they usually don't give you things to. But like, yeah, of course they could say, yeah, check this, maybe a project that the D-Box did, for example, and it's very good, we like the crispness, but usually I think they just give it to you as a reference, but not like to copy,
mm-hmm.
but just like, you know, to so they can show you like what they kind of like, or what they are thinking the direction could be for this project.
Right.
But that's it. Yeah. And then they just, I usually just like explore, you know, aesthetics, and they really listen to me, which is super cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you've been doing this long enough that they can use your own work as reference, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that happens too. They usually go to my website and just like gather a lot of references. And actually, sometimes they use it even against me. Like, if I didn't get like something up,
it doesn't look like this.
This looks cooler. Why is
right?
But maybe like the aesthetics of the design, it's also like it affects also like the visual qualities. So. You can't compare like a super organic building to like, I don't know, something that is much less interesting, for example. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to see how you're interacting with your clients and what the ArcViz community is doing. Do you see a trend that's been different in the last 5-10 years in terms of where things have been going? And
yeah, I think so. I think the most trend is that people are copying maybe quite a bit, I think.
Really?
More than usual. Yeah.
What's that? What do you mean by that?
Copying, like, for example, let's say Mir is like probably a very popular studio, then people are copying Mir. D-Box is like very popular, then people are going and copying D-Box. Like, exactly the same, you know, like almost like the same shots with the same elements, the same positionings, the same, which is kind of like a shame, because they don't really explore. Each project have its custom aesthetics,
mm-hmm.
so you have to really treat it that way. Each project is different and needs like a custom approach for it.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you can't just copy aesthetics from another project that is completely different too. So I see this as a trend, which is a shame a little bit, especially in the CG community, the architecture visualization community. Yeah.
So that's too bad. It's too bad that they're doing that. Are they doing it because they're trying to learn from it, or
Or
are they doing it because it's like, well, if they can get a job, they need to make it look like this?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it could be. But some people are taking it as a learning experience, which is okay. You could do it in a real commission. You can do it like as a personal effort,
mm-hmm.
but like as a real commission, maybe it doesn't feel that well. You know, like it's always like Jeff Motel. You know, like mm-hmm. he's always like sharing these companies, which is like almost copying exactly the same stuff and putting it on their website,
right?
Which is not, it doesn't feel very much right, maybe. But as a learning thing, and then you can, like, I mean, all of us like have been, you know, like copying Alex Roman work long before,
sure.
when he was like doing this amazing vegetation, and was like trying to learn from it. But we were saying that, yeah, this is like a personal effort. It's trying to copy Alex Roman and learning.
Well,
from it.
I remember when I was at D2, I saw an animation that was, I'll be open about it. I saw an animation that was part of the CG Architect Awards, and I had worked on Oblivion.
Yeah.
And it was a complete ripoff of Oblivion. Like yeah. shot for shot.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, the same design, the same everything. And it was like,
yeah.
you did the same building. You just added a story on top. It yeah. was shocking.
To, yeah.
Because those designs were, you know, done by Daniel Simon.
Of course.
They're done by, you know, with Joe
yeah.
Kaczynski, yeah. who's an architect. And they were substantially well thought out. And I was like, come on, get an original thought. And not to say it's like, okay, I want to learn how to do this, right? Yeah. Or that's a valid thing. You know, I want to model a dinosaur like on Jurassic Park. Okay, fine. Then dinosaur is a dinosaur, you know, and you can do that. But this is clearly a design choice and clearly an aesthetic choice. And yeah. we worked, you know, these are, you know, concept art that was done by there should be some respect to that. I mean, what is, I mean, I'm sure companies like Mir doesn't like it when
of course,
people do that.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. No, I totally get
it. Do they ever approach them? Do you think those people get confronted in those situations?
I think some people are, yeah. Like I was talking yesterday with Andres from Brick Visuals, and he told me actually that they had the problem with someone, and they were like kind of like yeah suing them or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they definitely approached them, and maybe they didn't reply or didn't take the necessary action. Right.
Well, you can do like a cease and desist, I guess. But yeah. I mean, if you know, if it's someone in a different country, and then I was like, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a.
He was telling me even that he saw a lot of companies like almost ripping some of their demo reel into their demo reel.
Oh, and copying it?
Yeah, and removing like the break visual, like taking the sequence from their demo reel. Like, so it's just horrible.
Yeah, I just can't understand. And I think that happens. That happens a lot in ArcViz.
Yeah.
More than concept artists and other things. Because exactly, I think concept yeah. artists feel the need to try to make original content.
True.
But ArcViz, it's like, well,
yeah.
But there's also, okay, but maybe it started from the, you know, there was a time when people were doing interiors, right?
And yeah.
They would fill the room with the, what would Jeff call them? The Evermotion specials.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
And it's just really just a white room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just a white room and you put a bunch of furniture that's made for you and just kind of arrange it and put some sunlight coming in.
Exactly.
And then have an out of focus picture of a plant.
Yeah, depth of field.
Yeah, depth of field. And that creates your room. Yeah. But then really there's nothing that original to that content. It's all about the models that you bought.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing actually. That's I think people some people are trying to take like shortcuts to create like something, but it's not going to get them anywhere, I think. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, but it's as you said, like I think the assets how incredible the assets have become have been actually kind of dictating the approach people are going to. So some people are just like leaving them to the assets that kind of controlling their outcome, which
so
is,
the space they're just furnishing.
Exactly, yeah, they're right. Just using assets. Like if let's say you have like a bunch of really cool trees assets from new volume, then they're just like putting some trees and making like a fog inside and that's it. So what, as you said, like what is original about this? What's your idea even?
Right.
Other than just like using the assets.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay. You could say the same thing about a photographer.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. that's, you know, you're going to the nature, you're doing this. I yeah. understand that. But yeah, I understand. I agree. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Well, okay. If I work in visual effects, right? And mm-hmm. so when I worked in visual effects, I didn't create any of the content that was being used. I didn't even animate it. I didn't even choose a camera.
Yeah.
The only thing I did was light, right? Yeah. And that's an important task.
Of course, it's
an important task. But I'm leveraging everyone else's work, right? And everyone's yeah. like, "Wow, that's a beautiful rendering." Oh, thanks a lot. It's like, but I didn't actually create anything in this image except to place the lights.
Yeah.
I probably did some depth of field. Maybe I don't know. Whatever.
Okay.
So there. There's an argument to that, yeah. You know, taking some trees and looking at the fog, but there is, or you know, you even said like you didn't model Zaha Hadid building, right?
Of course,
right. Yeah. So I'm not trying to necessarily say that, but it is upsetting that people are copying other people's work.
Yeah.
It's a shame that people are doing that.
Yeah,
you could just like get inspired by it and try your own, you know, like, okay, yeah, you just learn from it maybe as like a personal effort, as I said, but you can just like then just try something on your own, like, because that's the thing, that you have to learn how to do custom tailored things for each project, because when you get like commission projects, you will get this challenge. You will not be able to copy all the time. And if you copied in one project and it worked, then the other project will never work. Mm-hmm. It will look like strange. So yeah.
Well, what about technology? What has changed in technology, did you think, that's in the last 5-10 years?
It's incredible, honestly. I was telling in the masterclass, like I was telling them, I was like seriously highlighting that I don't even understand half of the settings in the V-Ray. I am like the most lame in terms of like...
That's good. I'll tell you, like, because people mess with them too much.
Exactly.
And so, yeah.
I'm trying to keep it simple. I'm also like, it's like technical stuff is too much advanced for me. I just want to create cool stuff, you know? So what happens...
But hold on. Before you move on, that is actually a problem statement, because what you're saying is that technology, like if it's more settings, then it's more technical.
Yeah.
But that's wrong. Meaning like technology can be really complicated with very few settings.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
I don't think that it's, I think that people assume that if it has fewer settings, it's simpler.
But it's actually, no, I really like the technology because it's getting easier.
Yeah.
So I can be more creative, you know, like
you can get the other stuff get out of the way.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't have to care more about like fixing this and fixing that, the stuff like that I don't even understand, mm-hmm. or I don't have to dig into it. I just want to be like creative and create like cool concepts and directions, visual qualities. So the technology is actually helping so much on this. In this Taekwondo project that I did, I was showing.
Okay, so explain to the audience the project, because we.
Oh yeah.
It'd be good for them to know.
So basically, as you probably know, I have been doing Taekwondo all my life. I have been doing Taekwondo as a professional player in tournaments and world championships and stuff like this. So I have always had this urge that I have to create my own, you know, like visual experience through Taekwondo. Mm-hmm. So what happened is that I really wanted to create this like really close moments inside the competition arena, which is really close to the fighting, mm-hmm. the sparring matches.
Right.
So what happened is that I did it as a personal effort, just, you know, like for publication and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I actually did like a lot of arrangement for, because specifically it's definitely the arena is the space, but it's like the background of the whole experience. The main experience is the players playing. Mm-hmm. So to be able to do this, I had to communicate with the World Taekwondo Federation to be able to have like custom photos in the World Championship, and it was like a big thing. But
and where were they held?
Yeah, it was like in the World Championship in Russia. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking to actually go there and take the photos myself, mm-hmm. but the World Taekwondo Federation told me that you had to have like a sports license photographer, mm-hmm. which I don't, mm-hmm. To get that close to the players, because I wanted really close to them, mm-hmm. in the ground level, not like the crowd level.
Right.
So what happened is that they sent me like a Russian photographer. It was a very funny story, because I sent this photographer to help me in this, mm-hmm. like, and I pay him money to take like custom photos for the competitions, because mm-hmm. I want all this variation of like Asian people and people from Africa and people like...
Mm-hmm.
So I sent him, and he sent me back in Russian, and I Google translated that he was saying that I can speak in English, but I can actually do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of like wrote my email in English and then translated in Russian and copied it to him. And then we just kept going like this.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Google Translate was exactly. good enough to make a... Wow. Yeah,
it's insane. And I sent him the money. We arranged everything. I told him the direction that I need. He did it perfectly, and he sent me the photos. I used it in my I did it as a personal effort, as I said, so it took some time, mm-hmm. Aside to my commissioned work. And I was just like trying to break my boundaries of creating something, you know, like especially for Taekwondo. Mm-hmm. So I just kept going and finished the project, and there was like a lot of aesthetics that I was kind of designing, because I wanted the stadium to have like some kind of a sleek, modern, different design than the usual arenas that you find.
Okay.
So in that case, the elements and the complexity of the scene was actually quite high. I was like adding so much details, mm-hmm. and the back wall was like was made of this like really small thin elements that were that have like a force pack dynamic mm-hmm. motion, which was like I don't know how many million polys or something. But all that I throw it into the 3D Max and the V-Ray and. Honestly, it was just, you know, piece of cake. And I was surprised because I was almost 100% sure this will never render.
Right.
And I just did it. And it's just like rendered in my lame machine in like a couple of hours, brute force. And it was awesome. I was right. like super happy.
Well, that's cool. I thought it was, I remember seeing the project and I was like, wow. It's like, this is a very unusual thing. Like you're showing something that I think a lot of people hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
So is that, I mean, that was probably part of your thing. It's like, I want to share with the world this scene about Taekwondo. How long have you been doing Taekwondo?
Yeah. Well, from when I was like 9 years old or something. Really? Yeah. It's insane. All my life almost.
Yeah. Wow. Do you compete?
Now?
Yeah.
No, not anymore. Yeah, I just quit because, you know, like I had to pursue my professional career, but like, yeah, I had to quit otherwise. But I do it like as just like a hobby. You
sure,
know, like,
of course.
Yeah, but sparring you, yeah, you have to like train every day, like 6 hours at least.
I know.
It's really hard and you have to decrease your weight always and it's so burning. It's really hard. Yeah, you have to be totally dedicated because also, you know, Taekwondo, martial arts overall, you know, if you didn't train, you're not only lose, you will get kicked.
Yeah, you'll be hurt.
It's really serious. Yeah, it's really, I got hurt before. Like I got actually, I was camping, doing a tournament in Korea and I was playing with this like insane Korean player and he hit me in my face mm-hmm. so hard that I was even like wearing the like the head guards, but he was so strong that he actually, my jaw was broken.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I did an operation and stuff and that usually wasn't, like expected because the guy was actually like much more strong than the usual. Mm-hmm. So you can, it can get serious, but now, I mean, now they have like new rules to prevent these things, like wearing more protectors and stuff.
Wow.
So yeah, that's the thing. So I can't really do it like as, yeah, let's just have fun and play, you know?
Yeah.
As yeah, tournaments. So that's it. But
My kids are doing Kyokushin karate.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Super cool.
Yeah, they're really, my daughter is very, very into it right now. So they've only been less than a year, but she wants to go 3 times a week. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's good. I did Shotokan for a while when I was younger, and it was a lot of fun too.
Yeah, of course.
But I think it was really cool to see that perspective and see what you're trying to communicate. And yeah, it's amazing renders. They look really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. I'm really happy that everybody, because I put a lot of effort in it and it wasn't like a paid effort. So I mean,
but I think what's also interesting, I mean, we were talking about style before, right? And you it has an architectural visualization idea, but maybe it was because of your Russian photographer, but it looked like an interesting journalistic style a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's true. Actually, yeah, it got actually featured in the Behance in the photojournalism front page, actually, which was strange because everybody was saying, didn't they know that it's 3D?
Yeah, it's
CG. And
then
they actually know because I'm writing like this is 3D Max and CG and V-Ray and all that stuff. But as you said, like it's my approach from the beginning, I wanted it to be like sports photography, journalism quality.
Right.
So even like I think a lot of my friends actually when I posted it, they said, yeah, Karim went like to like a nice tournament in somewhere and took some photos. So whatever. Yeah. And then when they started to realize that it's actually 3D, that's they started to get like impressed, which was super cool to hear actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're really, really cool.
Awesome.
Do you think, so you mentioned Behance.
Yeah.
Where is it that people go to try to get noticed now?
Yeah.
Especially in the ArcViz world.
Of course. Yeah. It's maybe it have been changing a little bit, but it's still, I think the CG Awards is one of the most credible what's called like events that people can like. It gets like a lot of highlight.
The CG Architect
Awards. CG Architect Awards. So this because it's always like insane amount of people apply submit mm-hmm. their artwork, yeah. and there is a lot of really good studios, even like in mm-hmm. Professional studios that apply their work, like Squint Opera, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the competition is really high, and when you get like only like five only selected nominees, then it usually is like the best out of these, which right. is get like a lot of highlight from all the other people. So like I think actually even before I went to MIR, one of the things that got me like little bit recognized that I applied in the CG Awards, CG Architect Awards before, and I got nominated with like some kind of house render, mm-hmm. and they knew me from this, so it was like yeah we saw your image in the CG Architect, so it kind of gave me like little bit of a credential.
Yes, yeah. That's okay, so that's really cool, that's yeah. interesting. So that's a great place to get noticed, etc. Yeah. But a lot of people may, you know, we, as I know, because I know Jeff pretty well, but thousands of people submit and, you know, 99% of them never get shown, right?
Yeah, because of course.
They don't win. So what if you're a person that just wants to put your stuff online? Because like, for example, like concept artists and some other, you know, character artists, etc., they go to like, what's it called?
ArtStation,
yeah. right? Now, ArtStation's starting to do some ArcVis stuff. You can yeah. see some ArcVis things there. Do yeah, you think people true. Are starting to use that more?
Could be, yeah, yeah. Also,
because I know Tomas has stuff on
have, yeah. yeah, yeah. I think Behance also. I really Behance like
Behance. Seems to be, yeah.
It's really cool.
That's because, what I was getting at.
Yeah, I think Behance is actually one of the nicest ones. The good thing about Behance is they have like a collective of different art forms, like, I mean, like criterias, like architecture,
okay.
visual effects, motion, graphics, which is super cool to see. It's very mm-hmm. inspiring, actually, web page. Yeah,
well, good for Adobe, you know, because I think that's really interesting that they've been able to say we're you know, we're not only going to provide the you know, the tools for people to make art, but we'll also provide a platform that's for them to do that,
of course.
And I think that's really, really smart. Yeah. Is there? I mean, obviously. Okay, so the CG Architect Award is really cool. Yeah. I'm really
There's
happy for Jeff.
There's also Ronan Becker, man. It's like
Ronan does his thing too. Yeah,
it's super cool too. Like it's actually like a very good for learning. Also, like he have a lot of these like making of, which is super. Like it's really nice. I always like check it out. I have like a lot. I have learned a lot of things from it. Like mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they do their, they call theirs the Academy Award, which is a little bit weird that they call
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, but yeah, it was, it's really cool that's a good place to sort of find resources, because really I think that some of our listeners would want to, willing to know where's a good place for them to post their
sure,
work.
Sure, yeah. But the challenge is really high now, I have to say.
Really?
It is, yeah. Because so many people are kind of, yeah, not kind, but like really good. Mm-hmm. So to be able to, you know, like get recognized yeah. is actually harder now than before.
And that's why more than ever, they need to make something unique.
Yeah, exactly.
And not steal.
Exactly, exactly.
Because yeah. if everyone's stealing, then it's going to all look the same.
Of course, yeah. That's yeah. true. That's very true. Yeah.
So I think that's something that's interesting, that they should try to make something that stands out.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, you know, just like Ronan did, not Ronan, Alex Roman did years ago,
yeah.
that got everyone's attention.
Of course.
And it changed, you know. Changed, there's yeah. these groundbreaking moments that I think happened
yeah.
that are really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So all right, we're near the end here, but I want to know, what was your thoughts on Total Chaos? Did you have a good time here?
Oh my God, it's freaking amazing. Yeah. I have to say, it's just impressive. And it's not only me. I have a lot of friends over here, actually.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
all of them are just impressed. I have to say, we didn't expect that much. Like yeah. In terms of like the first, like the preparations and the organization of the thing is just incredibly professional.
Yeah,
that's the thing. The second thing is just like the amount of speakers and variations is just extremely inspiring. I'm almost depressed. I don't want to work from the amount of inspiration I have. No, seriously.
Yeah.
And the venues and the place, everything is just so impressive. Honestly, like congratulations for this. The whole company just, I'm telling the Bulgarian guys that Bulgaria should be proud of Case Group. Like,
oh, they are. Trust me. When Vlado got his SciTech Award, yeah. his Academy Award, he came back and it was the news had like yeah. came out. And you've met Vlado, right?
Of course.
He's a very he doesn't like a lot of attention.
Amazing guy. Yeah.
He doesn't like a lot of attention. So when the press comes down on him, I think he's a little bit out of his element, which I feel good, bad about him.
Yeah.
Like, it's the last time, the first time I probably met you was at D2.
Yeah, it? I think so. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So do you go to D2 a lot?
Yeah, I do. Every year I almost go. It's a really friendly and like informal kind of event. There is always like really nice speakers. We may meet. Yeah, so it's also kind of like more dedicated to the like archivist community.
Right.
Which is nice, but yeah, it's always like really cool to do. I have been going there for like actually like 4 or 5 years almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing. And Fabio and Jason are, are really, really fun.
Yeah.
Well, this has been awesome, and you know, thank you for coming to Sophia and giving your talk and showing your work.
Yeah,
I think it's very very cool that you can do that, and you've always been a good friend of our of Chaos Group, so that's always been really fun.
Oh, thank you so much, Christopher. It's an honor for me actually to get into here, like to be invited into this amazing event. I'm just I'm so humbled and grateful for this opportunity, and also like to do the podcast with you. I told you that I always actually listen to it while we're working. Uh-huh. Like all my wife is always like listening to your voice. Oh, who's this talking all the time you are listening to? I was telling her, yeah, this is like a podcast with really cool people talking. So it's
so now
really
she can
fun.
Hear you on the podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. Tell her like this.
Excellent.
Thank you so much, Christopher. Okay. And yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.